Radio Dial. Just wanted to start off the show by promoting two events, one of which has already been mentioned by my co-host Carolyn. Tomorrow, November 6th, there's going to be a reggae dance party fundraiser at Café La Terre, which is 7000 Avenue du Parc. It starts at 9 p.m. Some of the acts include Danny Rebel, Wally, and Callie. This is organized by Solidarity Across Borders. It's to support an undocumented woman applying for permanent residency after 35 years in Montreal. I'm going to talk a bit more about that event and the context of that in a second. But the other event we want to highlight is the annual Fall Feast that is organized by several community groups in Montreal. This is an event that's endorsed by Solidarity Across Borders, but supported and organized by groups like Frigo Vert, Cooper Concordia, People's Potato, Midnight Kitchen, Submedia.tv, and about half a dozen other groups. The Fall Feast is an annual anti-colonial evening of food, film, and resistance. This year it takes place on Thursday, November 19th at the Native Friendship Center of Montreal. Some of the featured speakers this year include Tagastai, who is resisting pipelines on the territory of the Wet'suwet'en in what we know as British Columbia, Damien Dine Yazzi, who's with a group called Rise, the Radical Indigenous Survivance and Empowerment Collective, as well as Ellen Gabriel, member of the Turtle Clan from Gnezatage and the Ganayaga Nation. So the event takes place on Thursday, November 19th, 6 p.m., Native Friendship Center of Montreal. You can get more details at the Cooper Concordia website, cooperconcordia.org. But to start off today's show, we're going to feature the individual, Marcia, who tomorrow's fundraiser is focused on. Marcia came to Montreal from the Caribbean more than 30 years ago, 35 years ago, looking for a better life for herself and to support kids who she had left behind. She's been working and building community in Montreal for the most of her life, and she's facing health and financial difficulties after being here for more than three decades. She's lived for a good chunk of that time undocumented. We can probably estimate upwards of at least 40 to 50,000, maybe even closer to 100,000 or more undocumented people who live in Montreal, and probably anywhere between 500,000 to 1 million in Canada. This is comparable to the upwards of 12 to 15 million undocumented people in the US, 12 to 15 million undocumented people in Western Europe as well. So Marcia's story is just one of many tens of thousands here in Montreal. You can't pass a day out on the streets of Montreal without encountering somebody who's undocumented, whether you know it or not. Think about people who work in the backs of fast food kitchens. Think about folks that are picking fruits and vegetables, driving cabs, cleaning up hotels, taking care of families, taking care of kids. This gives you a face of undocumented labor and undocumented people in Montreal. And one of those faces, one of those voices is Marcia. So again, I'm going to focus on the fundraiser tomorrow, which is to raise money so that Marcia can make a claim for permanent residency after all this time with non-status or undocumented status here in Montreal and in Canada. So again, that reggae dance party fundraiser is tomorrow, November 6th, Friday, at Café La Terre, 7000 Avenue du Parc. It starts at 9 p.m. It's pay what you can, recommended between $5 to $10, but give more or give less depending on what you can do. And some of the featured acts are Danny Rebel, Wally, and Callie. For more info, visit the Solidarity Across Borders website, which is solidarityacrossborders.org. So in anticipation of the fundraiser, a member of Solidarity Across Borders, Leah Friedman, was able to do an interview with Marcia, the person who's going to have a fundraiser for her tomorrow. So just the basic context, which you'll learn more about in the interview, is that Marcia's lived undocumented here in Montreal for more than 30 years. She's originally from the Caribbean. So we'll go to that interview with Marcia right now.
I'm with Marcia. Yeah. And she's been living in Montreal for 35 years since you came here in 1989?
No, I came here in 1981. 1981.
Yeah. And what was it like for you to leave Jamaica?
It was exciting for me to leave Jamaica because I was going to another country, and I was really happy because I wanted to experience another country. I was happy to leave, yes, to come to another country. And when I arrived in Canada, I really liked it. It was my first time seeing snow. Mm-hmm. So I was really excited. It's the Christmas was fabulous. And right after that, you know, it was a summer arrival, and I got a job right away, and it was a very good experience. My people treat me good at that time, my first job. I was taking care of 3 kids at that time. The lady who employed me was very happy, and she gave me a raise like a month after. Aww. And she asked me if I'm sure I wasn't in Canada before, and I told her no.
What kinds of jobs did you do?
So my first was taking care of the kids and doing the housework. Mm-hmm. So taking care of kids, doing the housework, doing the cooking. Mm-hmm. After that, I move on to the second one. It was the same thing, taking care of the house, taking care of the cooking, because they always want me to cook. So it's always that, mm-hmm. like children and house doing the help.
Was it difficult for you to be living without status? Like,
at first it didn't bother me. It's when my mother and my aunt had passed away, and I realized back in Jamaica, and I couldn't, I couldn't attend. So that really, really, I had breakdown. And the same year, my aunt had passed away, and that's the aunt that I grew up, because my mother, my grandmother, everybody had lived together. So she raised me, and I couldn't attend, so that's, and I really love my aunt. And
Since then, what has it been like living here without status?
It has been hard, but I mean, not as much as now, mm-hmm. because I'm not as young as before, and without status now, and you know, I get sick, so it's really, really hard on me now, because I don't have access to the Medicare. You know, so it's very, very tough. You know, and what I had worked and I had put aside, and you know, to help, it's all gone, because work has been, you know, slacking off. So it's pretty rough now, pretty rough. And I'm still without status. Now I have the diabetes, and it really affected my eyes. And you know, it scares me. It scares me, because I don't know how much more of my sight is gonna be, and it's because of the diabetes, because I didn't have Medicare, and I couldn't go to doctor to get help, you know. So it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, and also being without status means that you can't access any welfare.
No, I can't get.
Any kind of disability. So it's like leaves you with not a lot of like options for money.
Lose my apartment now at this point, you know, that really kills me to know that I really feel very bad losing my apartment, because I don't have my privacy anymore. I don't have my independence anymore. Now I'm staying with people, and it's not the same. You realize your freedom is really, really gone.
And it's also, it's just like, after you've lived here for so long, and you've worked here for so long, and you've built your life here for so long, to have that kind of basic
take away from you, it's very hard.
Yeah,
and
right at this
point, I mean, I used to think about it before, but at those days I was much younger. I didn't have health problem, but now that I have health problem, and you know, who am I gonna turn to now for help? After, I mean, it's pretty unfair to me, because it's not like I just come to Canada. I was in this country since I was 22.
Yeah.
you know, so it's pretty tough.
Situation, people without status and can't access basic like services and have their kind of like independence, autonomy taken away from them in that way. Like say something to people who are in that situation or.
Well, I would tell anybody who's out there in that situation to be strong, you know, and, you know, keep the faith. Find somebody that you can trust, you know, who can work with you, who can understand your feelings, who can understand what you're going through, even though they are not in that position. But people can understand other people's feelings. You know, because we are all human and, you know, we have to try to understand each other. You know, if somebody else is out there, which I know lots is out there, you know, I wouldn't wish this and my worst enemy to be in a situation like this. Because it's not a good situation, you know. And if you can find help, go for it. I'm a shy person, so if somebody's out there and shy, please get brave. Justine, that was the hard part for me.
So,
because I was always walking, looking over my shoulder. Sometimes I have traumatized when I see people. I look in. You know.
Yeah.
It's not easy to live like this.
Yeah.
It's very traumatizing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in a situation like this, I mean, you can't go out and just let everybody know your secret. It's a secret for me. Yeah, the government doesn't help.
Yeah.
Free the people. You know, when you look at it, like when I came here, it was very cheap, you know, labor. It's really unfair because I have worked a lot of long hours, a lot cheap long hours, but at the time I was really grateful for it. You understand what I'm saying?
For sure.
Because I didn't know any better.
For sure.
And I still was very grateful and said it's better than, you know, nothing.
Yeah, it's just hard now to be in like a different stage of your life and not be able to stop. Like take a step back
exactly,
and like, take care of yourself.
Then take care of myself. Yeah.
Instead of other people.
And even to say, okay, right now I have a health problem and I can't work, then, you know, if I had status claim, then I could get back some help from the government. I can't.
Marcia was also part of organizing the Status for All demonstration and picnic that happened in May of 2015. Do you want to tell us about what that was like?
So, 2015 May.
Yeah.
There was a march organized by Status for All. It was a very, very wonderful evening going to that march and organize it. I myself attend and I did invite two friends of mine. They really did enjoy it. We need organization here in Montreal and all over Canada, because all over Canada there are always illegal people somewhere. So this organization do uplift people like us spirit and help us and give us courage and let us not feel like, you know, we are lost someplace out there, you know, not to be found.
The idea of having, of everybody having status and accessing status, what it, like, how do you feel about that?
I would feel very, very good.
Yeah.
I would feel very good.
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody want, to be free. Not afraid, you're not hiding, you're in there in the open just like anybody else. You could walk into the hospital with a Medicare and they said you have your Medicare card, you pull it out of your wallet. You understand? I would love the day to come for that freedom to come to me.
Ooh, natural beauty, you know. Yeah. No, I never been someone shy until I seen your eyes. Still I had to try, yeah. Oh yes, let me get my words right and then approach her. Woman, I'll treat you like a man is supposed to. You'll never have to cry, no. I know everyone can relate to when they find a special someone. And she's royal, yeah, so royal. And I want her in my life. I never knew anyone so one of a kind, no. The way she moves to her own beat, she has the qualities of a queen. She's a queen. Ooh, ooh, what a natural beauty. No need no makeup to be a cutie. She's a queen. She's a queen. And when they ask what a good woman's made of, she's not afraid and ashamed of who she is. She's royal, yeah, so royal. And I need her in my life. I never knew anyone so one of a kind until the night that I seen your eyes. So I can see it in her eyes, the way she smiles. Hey, yes, I and I know the king and queen crown, see I'm tied, so I never leave your side.